What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, there's two things. St. Paul gives a marvelous instruction on scandal, and it's really a teaching I think that's very timely, and I think very important for all of us, and could be answering a lot of questions. So I'd like to just start off with reading the instruction of St. Paul as he is instructing the Corinthians. They had the sin of idolatry in their time when food was offered to the idols or to the gods, that when you participated in that as a pagan, and these early Christians in Corinth would see that there were some Christians who would buy meat at the marketplace that had been offered to the gods. And they would see it there, and they would, if the Christians could see other Christians buying meat that had been offered to gods, they thought they were participating in their sacrifices to the idols, and they would be scandalized, and they would feel, and many of them would drop away from the church. And so Paul is instructing the Corinthians on how this is going to affect that. Although you might know that there is no other God except our God and Jesus Christ, and that this meat is not meat that's going to unite you to with a God or a Lord, but still, if you participate and you eat of that in front of these people, you're scandalizing them because they're so scrupulous and they're unknowing, and you lead them into sin. This is the instruction that Paul now gives in the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, regarding to meat sacrificed to idols, we realize that all of us have knowledge. Knowledge inflated with pride, but love builds up. If anyone supposes he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if one loves God, one is known by him. In other words, you may know that this meat is not really an idolatrous piece of action that you're doing if you eat it, because you know better. But there are some who really don't know. So about the eating of meat sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no idol in the world, and that there is no God but one God. You might know that. Indeed, even though there are so-called gods in heaven or on earth, there are, to be sure, many gods or many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things are made and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through him and for him we exist. But not all have this knowledge. There are some of us who have been so used to idols and idolatry up until now, that when they eat meat sacrificed to idols, their consciences, which is weak, is defiled. Now, food will not bring us contamination or closer to God. When we eat the Eucharist, that's the true union that we have with God, with Jesus Christ. But this food does not bring us close to God. So this teaching is so foreign to these people who don't know, and they think that we who have the sacrifice of the Mass are now eating to gods. Thus, through you and your knowledge, the weak person is brought to destruction. Our brother, for whom Christ died, when you sin in this way against your brother and wound their conscience, weak as they may be, you are sinning against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I may not cause my brother to sin. Paul is very, very strong on teaching the early Christians in Corinth, and we should also be. And when we were taught this whole, what this is called is scandal. It's the scandal of, and there's various kinds of scandal. Now, I would like very much to point out that yesterday I was listening to EWTN, and Raymond Arroyo and Father Mitch Pacwa were talking in a program, and one of the callers said, "How come Cardinal Dolan is allowing the gays to march in the St. Patrick's Day parade?" Now, there is, I believe, what we might call a sin of the scandal of the weak. Is Cardinal Dolan wrong for allowing someone? He says it's a parade. It's really not. I'm not saying that these people who are right, who are gay, have a right to gay marriage. I'm not saying anything about that. It's a parade, and I'll be the grand marshal of it. Well, I think maybe you think you're right, and I would like very much to instruct you, Cardinal Dolan, that I really believe that this is called the scandal of the weak. Those people that were calling in, and there are millions like them, who see that you, when you become Grand Marshal, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but you're scandalizing the weak. You know that there's nothing you're saying that gives acknowledgement to marriage of the gays, but they're marching in that parade, and you're going to be the Grand Marshal, and it is being interpreted, and they are saying, here is the church accepting gay marriage or the gays and their right to their lifestyle. That's how it's being interpreted. And so I would say this is a case not so much of you're wrong for what you know, but you're wrong for scandalizing the weak. And I don't know if I heard a clear teaching on that in EWTN. But I think it's really a case in our day. There is such a thing as the scandal of the Pharisees. Now, what is that? Our Lord many times would distinguish. A person would say to him, "Look, Jesus, here you are breaking the Sabbath law." And our Lord would call them hypocrites. You know, there are some people who say, you know, "I saw a priest do this," or I know a nun when I was in fifth grade and she was hitting the kids or whatever she was doing, and that's why I dropped out of the Catholic Church. You're a hypocrite. That is hypocritical. That is called Pharisaic scandal. Did that priest, what he did, or that nun, whatever it was that you so often refer to, why I don't go to the Catholic Church? I say, it's hypocrisy, and that priest didn't scandalize you, and that nun didn't scandalize you. That's called Pharisaic hypocrisy and scandal. There is the scandal of the Pharisee, there is the scandal of the weak, and Jesus especially taught not to scandalize the little ones. There's the scandal of children. Those who either physically or sexually abuse a child, our Lord said it comes with dire consequences. Even the gentle Jesus says it would be better that a millstone be tied around your neck and you dropped into the middle of the ocean than to scandalize one of these little ones. Scandal is a huge sin. Scandal is a horrible thing for children. And so coaches, teachers, parents, grandparents, priests, to scandalize a child. You know, over and over again, mothers and fathers, the scandal of the hurt you can give to your children, the scandal you can give to your grandchildren through abuse. They're little. And the scars that they carry for the rest of their lives, or a teacher, or a coach, if this is what you have done, it brings terrible consequences. Jesus talked about the innocence. The earlier the abuse, the worse the scandal, because they are God's innocent ones. When we teach a child this kind of abuse and entrance into the world, as they come so pure, so clean from the hand of God, what is more innocent than a child and a baby? And then to abuse that child. And certainly, probably the worst sign of the evil of our time is that which is visited on the unborn, the blood of the babies, the blood of the doctors, the blood of the industry, the mothers and the fathers, and those who kill the unborn. Life is so precious that God gives us. All life comes from God. And as he brings it to us, especially in its freshness of childhood, woe to you, Jesus says. And so we have a very important teaching today by St. Paul on scandal. But I think the most important teaching, especially for us in these times, today is 9/11. And we remember the Twin Towers. And we remember our enemy visiting us with thousands and thousands of those who were killed. And as we remember it, how do we remember it? And there are those who are now killing those Christians and people in Iraq, in Iran, in Egypt, in Syria, in Lebanon. So many suffering people from our enemies and those who hate us. They are saying, first we're going to kill you here, and that's what they're saying. And then we're going to kill you in Syria, and then we're going to kill you in New York. They are saying that. They hate us, and they're our enemies. What does Jesus say today about how to deal with those who hate us? It's a very important teaching of Jesus Christ, as we read in the 6th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, beginning with the 27th verse. But to you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other. from the one who takes your cloak, do not withhold him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. What a rule. What a rule. That Jesus, no one else, has given this teaching ever before. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even those sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do this and the same. If you lend to those who lend to you, what whom you expect repayment from, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same. But rather love your enemies and do good to them. Lend expecting nothing in return. Then you will have your reward, and it will be great. For you will be children of the Most High God, for He Himself is kind to those who are ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. No one can keep this commandment. No one. That is why in this teaching of the love of enemies, and I offer this to you on today, a day in which we think of only vengeance and hatred and anger and bitterness. This is only going to bring vengeance and anger and bitterness. So it has been forever in the history of mankind. Entering into our world is Jesus. He has come with a completely new way of living, and it is the law and the kingdom of love. You know, we so rate, yes, it's wonderful to think and how it is when I'm pure, and especially in my body. When we talk about same-sex attraction, or when we talk about the law of stealing, or when we talk the law of anger, every one of those are important commands of God. But listen to what Jesus is saying here. The main commandment of God, who is our Father, is the commandment of love. We are so forgetful of the first and most important commandment. God has so loved the world in which we live, and we have ISIS in this world, and we have Hezbollah in this world, and we have those fanatic Muslims who hate Christians. And what does Jesus say? Love them. Love them. That is so important a teaching. And isn't it amazing to me when I woke up this morning and saw this teaching that it comes right on 9/11 with all the alerts and all the cautions and all the defenses and all the retaliations that we could think of. What does Jesus say? Love your enemies. That this message today will go out to anyone and everyone who hears it, because it is the message of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist today. 9/11, this 2014, on the anniversary in which our enemies have punished us with the destruction of the Twin Towers, it has become symbolic of the hatred that our enemies have for us. And they're saying it again. We're going to kill you. We're going to destroy you. And we listen to what Jesus is saying. No, you are not. We are going to overcome you with love. That the power of love, who can do this? Jesus. Who are you? My brothers and sisters, Christians, who are they killing? Us, Christians. What a time we have. Here we are, the Christians of North America, the Christians of Europe, the Christians of Africa, the Christians as well as the Middle East, all of us, to stand, really to stand with our brothers and sisters and say, we love you, and we will overcome your hatred with love. You cannot. You cannot. And this will be the sign. What is going to touch the so-called moderate Muslim? Even the fanatic Muslim. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Why? Because the Father in heaven asked him to do this. What did they do to him? They killed him. What did they do to his early disciples? They killed them. Look what we have today, 9/11. The same enemies, the enemies of Jesus Christ. They are not the enemies. The devil is the enemy who has stirred this up. Sin is the enemy who has stirred this up. And this world is the enemy. And he, Jesus, has overcome sin and Satan. And he has also overcome death. What is the message on this beautiful day? This beautiful day, 9/11, 2014. Love your enemies. What a marvelous platform we have here. What's the platform? The cross. Lift high the cross, the love of God proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Yes, yes, the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus today, we come against you, enemies. By the power of Jesus, we come against you. With the love of Jesus, we come against you. You cannot kill us. You, as well as us, each one of you, was made for eternal and immortal life. You, your deepest member of ISIS, the deepest member of Hezbollah, you will die. Just like us, and you will be judged. On what basis? On the basis of love. Only love. Only love. Love is what your Father, if you really believe that you want to establish a kingdom of Allah, of God, God is love. You cannot change the nature of God. Your God, if he is a kingdom of one who establishes hatred for the infidel, is not God. And so only God, there is no other God. La illa Allah, there is no God but God. And who is he? Jesus Christ. Yes, that's who he is. He is the Son of the Most High, and he dwells in the heart and the eyes and the being of every Christian, and the blood of Jesus is on you, and that blood will convert you, and that blood will be shed, for it was first on the cross, and now the outpouring of that blood again will be the seed in which the church will spread. What you're doing really is spreading the church through love overcoming your hatred. And you will be the ones who will eventually be overcome. He is the victor of sin and of Satan and of death. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim. Tell all the world, adore his sacred name, the name of Jesus.
Monsignor?
Yes.
Do you think in some ways the difficulty arises that we haven't, even as adults, had a good formation in what love really is? And what I mean by that, for some, even those in advanced years may think that, well, I can't possibly have the warm fuzzies. I can't. They think of love as some type of an emotional, you know, warmness and affection towards others. But it's a little bit, it's maybe, can we say it was richer or even deeper, and it goes past that type of feeling, isn't it?
Oh, yes. In these days, you know, when I'm talking to people who are Coptics in Egypt, and they see the cruelty and the hatred that they're receiving from the Muslim Brotherhood there, when they see that horror, there's no warm fuzzies there. When you look back, beloved Coptic Egyptians, when you look back at the enemy, look them right in the eye. They may be no fuzzies inside of you, but you are in Jesus, and Jesus is in you. And if he's going to come against you and your family, look him right in the eye. And let Jesus use you to look him in the eye. What's he going to do? How can he hurt you? How can he destroy you? Because he can't destroy that life that's within you. Over and over again, when I heard stories of people who died in the Twin Towers, when I heard those stories that were told about those people who were on that plane that crashed outside of Pittsburgh, the heroism, the power of love for their families, for their country, the love that they had, they were decisions, they were difficult, and they were facing that hatred, and yet they died. They died. Where are they? Where are they today? Those who died in the 9/11 attack. I think they're more courageous. There's that story they tell about that beautiful chaplain who went in when all of the others were running out. And he died. He died. For what? For love. And they laid him where? On the altar. Right there. Right there, in the little church next to the Twin Towers, the chaplain who was there, who died out of love. The stories after stories of those heroes who died. Those policemen, those firemen, those people who died. Where are they? Can you overcome that kind of spirit? Look at the spirit there. What makes New York strong? Jesus. What makes New York strong? St. Patrick's. Who is he? He's the one that taught us about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What are you marching in the parade there? The Trinity, not the shamrock. He used the shamrock to teach us of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who are we? We are Christ in the world today. You can't kill us. We were meant and destined for eternal life. We have power. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Whatever you do, do unto others. What is the motive of the Christian now? Whatever that is that's in my heart, that I would like to see you do to me, I'm going to do to you. And what is that? I'm going to love you. And what is that that I would like you have to do? That we love one another. That will be eventually what is. That's what really makes America. That really is what makes America, America. And on 9/11, you enemies of America, if we can really come alive in Jesus Christ, you can't kill us. Can't kill us. And those Christians you're trying to kill in Iraq, you can't kill them. You can't kill them. They may be the minority there, but you can't kill them. And they were there before you came. They're in that land before you came there. And they will be there after you're gone. But after you're gone, where are you going to go? You're going to go to God. You're going to go to Jesus Christ. You're going to go to the one who came to save you, Jesus Christ.
Final thought, Monsignor?
I really believe that these days are so important. I think that teaching on scandal is a very important teaching for us. Not to be afraid to recognize that not everybody has the same knowledge that we have. I appeal with St. Paul to other Christians right now, especially those of us. He talked about those who eat meat that are offered to idols and how we scandalize them. I think Pope Francis is centering all of us on that commandment that is most important, and that's the commandment of love. When he says, yes, you know, how, yes, it's important that we acknowledge that same-sex attraction cannot be, there's no right of people to have marriages of those who have same-sex attraction. There's no right that you have to use contraception in your marriage. There's no right that you have over your own body to kill your baby. There's no right that you have in all of these issues. But what you really have to begin to learn more than anything, all these are important, but to love God, and to love one another. When we have that commandment fulfilled, then Christ will come alive in all of us. The love of God in India, in China, in Africa, in Australia, in Europe, North America, South America. Jesus is the King of love. God bless.